Amen, and you may be seated. I invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Psalm 57. We'll be looking at a passage out of that. As we finish this morning, the series on 8 rules, growing in Christ, growing in godliness. Rule number 8, purpose to be godly. So God does have a purpose in your life, and I do want to talk about that as we look at Scripture. I'll try not to talk too long because I want to reserve time to do the Lord's Supper, to observe that. Amen? Okay, so you're giving me permission. Well, I can go real. Okay, no, I'm picking on it. Up on the screen, though, you see our mission statement. There's three things we're trying to do. I want you, three things that I really believe God has created us to do. One, be connected to Him. And so we want to connect people to Jesus Christ. We want to see every living person on planet Earth know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The second thing we want to see happen is that person to become a disciple of Christ, following Christ. And that means that they're going to hang out with other Christians. Christians grow Christians. And so we want to connect people to God's people. That's why last week we talked about being in a small group, the importance of that. And then the third thing is that we want to connect you to God's mission. And that is your purpose, what He created you to do, the impact. We are to be disciples making disciples who make disciples. Amen? Churches who are planting churches that are planting churches, so that we're more lighthouses driving back the darkness. In this world, this country's pretty dark right now. Guys, because we've played church and not lived and been the church, the country's in the shape that we're in. I don't blame our government. I blame us as Christians for allowing the condition of our country to be that it's in. Because we're fighting over so many trivial things. We can't agree on theology or doctrine over holiness. And today, guys, I'm just going to lay out what Scripture. If you love me, great. If you don't, follow God's Word, okay? Because we're going to talk about holiness. We're going to talk about godliness. We're going to talk about obedience. Real quick. Now, connecting people to God's mission, this afternoon from 3 until 5, we're offering class 101. If you're interested in joining Covenant Fellowship, you have to take the membership class, and it just kind of goes over our doctrines and values. 201, that Jerry Phillips is going to lead, is the spiritual habits, how to have a quiet time, how to read your Bible. 301 by Scott McKinney is understanding your giftedness. And then 401 that we're launching for the first time, Pastor Scott Williams is teaching. He's talking about how to share your faith. And it's some really good stuff. And then at 5, we have a meal by an extraordinary chef. And so that's all I'm going to say. There's going to be a great meal served today at 5. It's free. Come from 3 to about 5:30, 6 o'clock this evening. I know it makes a long day, but we only do this once every 2 months. And so we're trying to make it easy for you as you grow. Up on the screen, A.W. Tozier said something in a devotional this week that I read that caught my attention. And I hope it will catch your attention as we think about who we are as God's people. It says this: before the judgment seat of Christ, my service will be judged not by how much I have done, but by how much I could have done. Wow. In God's sight, my giving is measured not by how much I have given, but how much I could have given and how much I had left after I made my gift. You know what God's saying? You can do more. You can give Him more time. You can give Him more space in your heart. And that's what this is about. So when I think of God's purpose for us, I look at Psalm 57:2. You have that in the outline. If you don't have your Bibles up on the screen, I'll give you the Bible verses. Jamie, we will chase one rabbit. That'll be Joshua 1:8 NIV that you can pull up after this verse here in just a second. I almost changed the sermon, by the way, this morning. I said, no, I'll do this verse. I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill His purpose for me. The Hebrew word for purpose here means He completes. And what's so important for you is that God wants to work in your life to complete what He wants to do in your life. Doesn't that sound good? That God wants to work in your life to change you, where you're doing everything He created you for, Now you're going, David, that don't sound cool. I want to do that. No, when we surrender to the Lordship of Jesus, it means, God, I'm yours. What do you want me to do? Now, let's chase a rabbit just for a moment. The only rabbit we should chase this morning, Joshua 1:8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. What does that mean? Read your Bible. You're not going to grow if you're not reading the Bible. Amen? Take time to read your Bible. Meditate on it day and night. Don't just read it and check off. Say, God, okay, I've read. Now bless me. Doesn't work that way. You think about it. It's called application. What changes do you need to make? Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. It's called obedience. Now catch this. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Some of you think, oh man, I'll get everything I want. I'll be rich. That is not what it says in the Hebrew. It says you will be in the center of God's will, doing the things He created you for, and you'll find contentment and happiness. And that's what a lot of you are looking for. You're filling your life full of stuff that is not of God. And I have to watch what I say because I know the kids are in here this morning. And what God's calling us to do is to remove the junk in our lives and give Him 100%. And so this morning, what is God's purpose for me? I just want to kind of walk you along some theology this morning. And all that means is a study of God. What has God done? And a couple of things that will give us a very thankful heart as we approach Easter, but we understand that God has a unique purpose. Now, hear me carefully. There is not one person in this room or watching that is trash or garbage or subhuman. Everybody has been created uniquely in the image of God, and He died for you. Amen? You're special, and there's something that God wants to do in your life that only He can do through you. Now, you have your choice. God wanted to work through Samson to do some great things, but Samson wanted to party. He wanted to chase women, and God couldn't use him. Now, on the other hand, you have people like Rahab, a prostitute. She gets her act right, and you know what happens? She's in the genealogy of Jesus. So you have good people, bad, but they make a decision to follow Christ, to be obedient to God, and God does extraordinary things through them. So what is God's purpose? The first thing, when we look at Scripture, I want us to think about God wants us to have eternal life. That's why we gather today, is to celebrate that, not that we're just going to heaven, but that we can have power and contentment on earth right now. And when I look at John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God died for you so that you could have eternal life. That means one out of one people in this room will die. Then what? What good is it to live your life for yourself and not enter into heaven? Now, hell wasn't created for you. It was created for sin and the devil. But unfortunately, people choose to go there because they want to live their life apart from Christ. But God wants you to have eternal life. And that's the game changer. Now, how do I know that? Well, number one, I think about the atonement that God made for us. Now, what is atonement? It means someone has to intervene for my sin. And when I look at Hebrews 2:17, the Bible says, for this reason, talking about Jesus, He had to be made like us, like them, fully human in every way, in order that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that He might make atonement for the sins of the people. And hear me, this is Easter coming up. Jesus had to be fully human because it's mankind that's the sinful people, amen? But Jesus had to be fully God because He's the only one righteous, holy, sinless, that could offer the atonement for our sins. And that's why Jesus died. And so God, in His love for you, wanting you to have eternal life, He also made a way, atonement for you, because He cares about you. In fact, let's look at a couple of other verses about atonement. Isaiah 6, 5 and 7. Many people think, well, the New Testament gods are different than Old Testament. No, it's not. Old Testament's always pointing to the New Testament. New Testament's fulfillment of the Old Testament. Now, we can take hours talking about that, but not this morning. In Isaiah 6, Isaiah goes into the temple, has this beautiful vision of God, and he goes, oh man, I'm in trouble. In fact, the Bible says, woe to me, I cried, I am run, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim, an angel, flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. God has always been in the business of making atonement for your sins. And he made the great one with Jesus Christ. Amen. The third verse I want to share with you, or the second part, I want to talk about God giving us his righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, Bible says this, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. At the cross, Jesus took all of our sins, your sin, my sin, and died. But at the cross, because Jesus is God and righteous, he gave his righteousness to us so that we could enter into heaven. Guys, if you tried to enter into heaven on your righteousness is polluted, contaminated, and it would poison heaven, and heaven would no longer be heaven. So we have to get into heaven through the righteousness of God. So God made atonement for you, but he now gives you his righteousness. Wow, what a mighty God that we serve. In fact, not only does God give us righteousness, he gives us security, a peace of mind. This is the Holy Spirit. This verse or passage I'm about to read could be used for Easter, but what I'm doing is describing the purpose. First thing God wants you to do is to be saved. And look at the provisions he made. Atonement. Righteousness. I just went blank for a second. And then now he's given us his Holy Spirit security. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy. That's why he saved you. He created you, but because he loves you, mercy, he saved you. In his great mercy, he's given us a new birth. You know what that means? A second chance. A new life, a new beginning, into a living hope. Not a hope that the Cowboys will win the Super Bowl, not a hope that the Astros will win the World Series or that it'll snow today, but a certain fact. And what is that living hope? Is that the moment we die, we're with Jesus. But notice this, it all happened through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection, Easter Sunday, is a game changer. And that's why we gather today. And the purpose of God is that he wants us to live with him, to worship him. And he's made eternal life available. And he shows us this. But notice this. And then into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. What does that mean, David? Your ticket to heaven is kept in heaven by God. And when you read Exodus 20, verse 3, Jamie will chase the rabbit, Exodus 23, that's the very first commandment of the Ten Commandments. And it's interesting, it's a real short verse. You shall have no other gods before me. And that word before in the Hebrew is the word panah. And it means God is sitting in the throne of heaven, and in the spiritual realm, there's no other God in front of him, behind him, to the right, to the left, above, or below. No one. No other power. God himself. And to his right, Jesus is sitting. The Bible tells us that. But you know what, James, you back up to 1 Peter 1. Shielded by God's power. That means no one can steal my salvation. I can't trade it. It means I have security. I have peace of mind. I woke up this morning knowing that if I die today, I'm going to heaven. Do you have that peace today? Because you see, God's purpose is for you to have eternal life, where the moment you do die, and you will die, death's coming, you're losing precious time. The clock is going down. And some of you, I hope you die in your sleep, peaceful, okay? But we do know this, one out of one people in this room will die. And then what? God has given us provision, eternal life. Now, what is the second thing that God has done for us this morning? He expects us to walk in holiness. He has saved us. And that means you've trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You've asked Him to forgive you of your sins. But He expects you to walk in holiness. What does that mean? It means now you're going to live for Jesus, not for yourself or for the world. It is the difference. That's where you're the salt and the light. Notice what Paul says. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. It's not about me or my rights. It's about Jesus. But Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And so holiness means I'm going to live for Jesus. And that's not a hard thing to do. Now, it's hard when other people come at you and you say, no, I value God's opinion, His love more than your love and your friendship. I have to be faithful to Christ. But notice with me as we continue to talk about holiness, 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your heart on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. That means don't live a lifestyle that doesn't please God. Verse 15, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I'm holy. Holiness is not meaning that you're a freaky person. Holiness means you've surrendered to Jesus. And you're going to live for Him. Not hard, but it's a choice. And it's a choice that leads to being bitter or better, as we talked about this morning. A third verse regarding holiness, Romans 6:19. Paul says, I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourself as slaves to impurity and to every increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. The things you know you should do, start doing them. Period. God expects us to walk in obedience. Not only that, but God expects us to obey Him. Oh, this is a tough one. He gives us the Bible. Matthew 7:24-25. This is so important for obedience. Jesus has done the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon, Matthew 5-7. At the end of Matthew 7, He says this, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, obedience, you hear me? Obedience is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The reason you need to be obedient, one day, the storm, Satan, evil, whatever is going to come at you, and it's going to be like a horrific rainstorm. And you're going, man, this is bad. But you're going, I'm safe and secure. But then the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house. And it's going to mess with your mind, the pressure. Everything's falling apart. And the only thing that you have left is standing on the rock of Jesus Christ. And because you're standing on the rock, because you've committed and you're going to obey His word, regardless of what happens, you're still standing. Yet it did not fall because its foundation is on the rock. Guys, I can sit here and talk about being beat up, squashed, broken. You can tell me stories. You can hear those stories and celebrate recovery on Tuesday nights. But I know this, every story says this. Whatever we went through because of Jesus, we got through it. In every story that says, I tried to do it on my own, I failed. It is your decision today. Am I going to build my life on Jesus, which God wants, that's what He created you for, or not? Not only does God expect us holiness and obedience, but He expects us to serve Him. And you go, what do you mean, David? Well, Ephesians 2:10, for we're God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. What does that mean? Be kind to other people. Show the patience of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, when I go to the grocery store or to Walmart, I'm getting tired of these self-checkouts. Especially when the scanners don't work. Doesn't that get on your nerves? and you just really want to explode because somebody's popping off or something, and you're going, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to chase that rabbit. And you stay calm, but yet you also show the presence of Christ. You may even let somebody go in front of you. Kindness. And as we stop and we start showing Jesus to other people, man, this world's going to change. In fact, a verse out of 1 Thessalonians 1:9. The Thessalonians, is that church and the church at Ephesus are probably the two strongest churches in the New Testament. In Thessalonica, they change a region. That'd be like changing Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, and Oklahoma for Christ. That's the kind of influence they had. And Paul's writing, and he says this about them. He says, they tell how you turn to God from idols. There's some, you're either serving God or you're serving something else. You may be an idol. Your money, your dreams. And God's going, how they turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. God created you to serve Him, to help other people, to point other people, to be a lighthouse pointing people back to Christ. And that's where we failed. Guys, it's one thing to invite people to church. It's another thing to invite people to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Ooh, that went well, I could tell. It's easy to invite people, and I do want you to invite people. But can you imagine if it was just not the staff that's leading people to Christ, but 300 people that's in this room that's leading people to Christ, what would happen? Amen? Amen. Let's dream big for the Lord, and let's surrender to the Lord. But He's called us to serve Him. Now, when I come back and I look at Psalm 57:2, I cry out to God Most High. The psalmist is hurting, and he's crying out to God. And then as he cries out to God, he stops and he goes, you know, it's not about what I'm going through. It's about God carrying me through this. I'm reminded of a story of a guy walking on the seashore with Jesus. And when he turns and he looks back, he sees only one set of footprints. And he goes, where were you, Jesus? And Jesus says, no, I was the one carrying you during that difficult time. And guys, this is what Jesus came to, so that you could have eternal life, so that you could obey Him, walk in holiness, make a difference in other people's lives. I don't know about you, I'm tired of stories of parents on drugs and abandoning their kids, and CPS is having to come in, and I love our volunteers for CASA, no offense, but I wish the church would step up that we wouldn't have to worry about CASA or CPS, amen? But for some reason, we're afraid to get our hands dirty. And I'm excited about what Pastor Scotty is doing in a couple of weeks. We're going to be doing a block party over Martin Luther King. And some of you are, no, they need Jesus. They may not come here, but we can go there carrying the gospel. How about that? And so he's needing an army. So visit with him and Pastor Dean, because they would love to talk to you about that. But I want to end in this. God's purpose for you. He wants to work in your life. Will you surrender to Him this morning? If you're unsure, the first way to surrender is to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life as Lord and Savior. How do you do that? Say this prayer with me. I want to lead you. If you're unsure, you can rededicate as we pray. Our praise team's coming forward. We're about to have our invitation. Then we'll do the Lord's Supper. But would you pray with me silently? Dear Jesus, I know that You died on the cross for my sins. You made atonement, and You rose from the grave to give me eternal life. Dear Jesus, I believe that You died for me and rose for me. Would You come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and be my Lord and Savior? Jesus, I make a commitment to follow You every day for the rest of my life. Save me, Jesus, save me. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. At this time, Pastor Scott's going to come down to the front for the invitation.